Well, hello, Mardell.
Good morning.
How are you?
This is a strange place to be doing the garden conversation, isn't it?
I know, yeah. So this is Melissa and...
Mardell. Gunn. And we're standing on Melissa's porch.
Yeah.
And looking at her beautiful flowers.
We're going to do a tour through my garden today. And it's the middle of August on a day that's not trying to rain.
It's actually the sun is shining,
which is kind of unusual this summer.
So
we're standing here looking at a couple of raised beds. Most everything I have is raised beds. And I have flower beds as you come into my kitchen. And I've set that up so it's a progression of flowers through the year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it starts.
So what do you have?
So it starts off really early, just as the snow is melting. There's a bulb that comes up called Glory in the Snow, mm-hmm. which I highly recommend.
They are beautiful, aren't they?
They're beautiful, and they last forever, mm-hmm. and they just self-seed themselves mm-hmm. all over the place.
And they're such a joy to see in the spring when you're really longing for a little bit of flower.
And they're immediately followed by crocus. Mm-hmm. And then I've got daffodils and tulips and hyacinth that bloom in here. And then that's followed by a whole bunch of different colors of columbine. Mm-hmm. Now, mid-August, I need to get out there and cut all of the columbine seeds off. I've done some of it, but not all of it.
You still have some beautiful columbine blooming, actually.
A little bit, yeah, a little bit. And I've got nasturtium now, which will see me through to the fall. Mm-hmm. And I keep trying to figure out how to get more nasturtium going, but I, you know, sometimes we just can't do everything.
Right. And then in the middle, you have two
lilacs.
You have lilac bushes.
Yeah, and one I started as a cutting in 2005, and it's, I don't know how tall it is, but it was not damaged in the snow this last mm-hmm. year. The other one I bought, and it's maybe 6 or 7 feet tall. Mm-hmm. And it got damaged in the snow, and it was pretty interesting because half of it got buried down and basically in the ice, and half did not. And the part that was in the ice ended up not blooming. Lost all of its buds. Hmm. And the other half bloomed beautifully.
Because that's interesting because, as I understand it, lilac sets their blooms the fall before. That's why you have to be really careful in pruning.
Right. Yeah, so, they do set their... Yeah. Yeah, but they just... Those buds all got knocked
they
off
got knocked
in the
up,
ice.
So that's why you didn't have any.
And that's, mm-hmm. you know, when Kate's been on and talked about the damage that she had with fruit trees mm-hmm. and things that, you know, it's just, we had a heavy snow winter.
Yeah, and lots of
ice. Yeah. And then I've also got ferns up against the house
beautiful
here.
Beautiful ferns.
And I just dug them up out of the forest mm-hmm. and they are doing great.
They love our climate.
They take no care. And then baskets of
hanging baskets
begonias.
Of begonias all along.
Some of which are from Mosey's.
Oh, really?
I used to babysit her begonias, and she ended up
giving
them
some to
me.
You. Yeah. Oh, man, there's a particularly my favorite is a deep blood red double begonia there that is just so beautiful.
Yeah.
How do you deal with your begonias in the winter?
I take them inside. I have an attached greenhouse. Mm-hmm. It stays about 60 degrees. And I take them in there and let them finish doing whatever they want to do.
In the pots. You just
in
take
the pots.
Pots in.
And then when they go dormant, then I put the pots into a shop that's about 45 degrees. Mm-hmm. And so it's above freezing, but it's cool. Mm-hmm. And I just leave them in there in the pots all winter.
In the pots.
I used to take them out.
Yeah, I take mine out.
Yeah, but
maybe
then...
Well, actually, I had a few rot when I didn't take them out, but I think that was because I must have had too much moisture in them.
Yeah, that can happen. Yeah. So I just let them dry out. So
you're
they don't
taking
rot.
Them in and doing that intermediate mm-hmm. thing is probably really
important. Yeah, and then Charlotte Jewell told me you don't have to take them out of the mm-hmm. pots.
She does not. Yeah, she did not ever take hers out.
Yeah. When I did take them out, I would go to one of the liquor stores and get a box that had... That had had like wine bottles or something mm-hmm. in it with dividers. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I would put peat moss or sawdust in the bottom of mm-hmm. each of those little cells and then put one bulb in and then top it with the rest of the
peat moss
or sawdust. And but By having them in the dividers, then they were separated from each other. Mm-hmm. So if one rotted, it didn't spread to others.
That's good thinking, yeah.
Yeah, so that worked.
Yeah.
So now we're on the front of the deck.
Yeah, and we're overlooking the ocean, for one thing. But in between us and the ocean is a greenhouse down there. We're standing way above it. We're not going to go visit it because it's quite the downhill journey.
It's,
and don't want to hear us huffing and puffing on air. So tell me, what's in that greenhouse?
Okay, so this year I'm growing string beans and cucumbers that are doing really well. I've frozen a ton of string beans.
Great.
And I have...
no mold problems.
Mm-mm.
Wow.
No, it's well ventilated.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And then I've also got basil and squash and catnip in there. I did grow tomatoes till I discovered I was allergic to them. And then on the outside, on one side, I've got two bins on both the east and the west side. And on one side, I have a bin of beets and a bin of carrots. And on the other side, I have two bins of potatoes. One's Yukon Gold and one's Clinkit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just switch every year. So,
they're being rotated.
Yeah, the beets and carrots are, will go where the potatoes are this year and back and forth.
And so now, how much sunlight does that get?
I studied that spot carefully when we first moved here, and it was the sunniest place
consistently. That's why you put it
there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It also happened to have a cement foundation for an old mobile home had been there.
Uh-huh.
So it was kind of handy, and it was in a good spot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why that's where it is.
And that's why you can grow zucchini and all sorts of things in there.
Yeah. So it does really well.
And so now we're coming to the back of the yard, and the first thing that I notice is a ton of little tubs, little mini raised beds, which are...
They're dryer tubs. From the recycling center.
We've heard about these before on
the
garden conversation.
And I have 17 of them.
of them.
Gone a little bit overboard with them. But they're really handy because you don't have to bend over so much. And they're deep enough you can grow root crops.
And they keep they keep things separate. And, you know, they're small, but you've got chives in one that we're looking at here. And you said you did succession planting in some of them?
Kind of. So what happens is because they're smaller and they're up above the soil line, they warm up really fast.
Oh, yeah.
And I put remain. I only fill them with soil up to about half to two-thirds level.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I plant things, I can put Rime over the top until whatever it is pushes it out.
Little covering, little tiny greenhouse, basically.
Yeah. And so one has chives in it, which is perennial and requires nothing. With a bunch of them this year, I put a broccoli or a cauliflower or a cabbage in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is what you were thinking about with succession planting. And then around the edges, I planted turnips or carrots. And then as the cauliflower or cabbage came out, then it left space for the carrots or turnips.
Which are growing happily
to grow.
Now.
And they're doing great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's worked.
Yeah,
really,
that's making good use of a small space.
Then we have two more tubs here where I have shelling peas and sugar peas.
Mm-hmm.
And then looking over in the distance a little bit, there's some honey berries in two of the pots.
And that is a good size honey berry. I mean, we're talking probably 5 feet tall,
They're big, yeah. And because the dryer tubs are open in the bottom, so the roots can go down into the ground, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so there's two honey berries that way and one blueberry.
Mm-hmm.
And then to the left of that, I have a raised bed with blueberries in it.
Oh, and there's some nice looking blueberries.
Yeah, and that works out really well because I can control the pH by having it in a raised bed.
So what are you doing to make that a little bit more acidic?
I just put peat moss in
there.
It's the major thing I feed with. Mm-hmm. And then next to that is a bed where I harvested some beautiful, beautiful garlic.
And there's still a beautiful kohlrabi.
And a cabbage and a broccoli,
But you got your garlic harvested, which is you did the fall planting of garlic.
I did. And I also did a spring planting of garlic. I did a fall planting because I had all I did it the way you're supposed mm-hmm. to do it, and those came out beautiful. And then I did a spring planting of garlic that had sprouted in my kitchen, mm-hmm. and or in my root cellar, and those cloves came out about 75% the size of the fall planted mm-hmm. ones, mm-hmm. but they also had competition, mm-hmm. where right. the so fall planted garlic didn't have any competition. Right.
So that wasn't really even a fair. Now, if Rebecca Brewer were here, she would say that's not a fair competition. Oh, she's an advocate of spring planting.
Yeah, I'm an ad. Well, fall planting works really well in a year where we get a lot of good deep snow, like we did this last year.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The years before, when mm-hmm. we had very little snow, there was a lot of freeze thaw.
That's right. Those people who were doing spring planting were happy to not worry about their garlic freezing.
Right. And so I'm a fan of doing both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, when you do have a deep snow winter, it's great.
It's great.
Yeah.
So this is a strawberry bed that I see a whole bunch of net around.
Yeah.
Evidence of problems.
So, I have a bed set up with just Anway strawberries. And this year, for the first year, I have had what I'm assuming is porcupine mm-hmm. in there. And I've tried the bird netting over the top, and I've tried the bird netting around the edges to just trip up the porcupines, and it hasn't worked. So I've been trying to figure out what to do, and I'm going to put a taller fence around it with a hardware cloth mm-hmm. over the top and all the way around the edge with some panels. So
basically just wrap it with hardware cloth.
Yep.
And then make panels so you can get in there and pick the berries.
Yeah. And then somewhere, it was either Alaska Magazine or Mother Earth News, I saw an ad for electric fences that are battery operated. Because where we're standing now, I can't get electricity to it. But mm-hmm. I thought I might try that.
Yeah. Well, there are solar. We have solar.
Yeah, I don't get enough solar.
But you don't
get
enough sun.
Yeah,
here
I thought I would try a battery operated one and zap them. To the left, we have high bush cranberry and currants.
Uh-huh.
The currants are coming on, mm-hmm. and the high bush cranberries are going to be beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have three more beds that are all kind of assorted greens.
Right, with everything from kale to spinach to chard to...
Yeah.
And a little bit more peas.
Peas and auric.
Yeah.
And one of the beds is dedicated now to kale.
That's going to seed.
Yeah.
So your purpose is to let it go to seed.
Yeah, it's just mm-hmm. basically its own little kale.
And
place.
Is that last year's kale or is that this year's?
There's two in there. There's the tall ones that are blooming are last year's kale, mm-hmm. and I've already harvested quite a few seeds off of that. And mm-hmm. then the shorter plants are this year's.
That haven't gone to seed yet.
Right, they just came up mm-hmm. from seed.
So in general, the best way to save kale, in my experience, is to let an old plant stay in, and then the following year is when it will go to seed, and you can get lots of seed. And by the way, Melissa has enough seed here that she can provide, or she will potentially have enough seed here that you can provide it for the whole state for several years.
I think that is probably true. The cool thing, another cool thing about letting some of the kale go, is that it will overwinter.
And so in the spring, we
get this beautiful, sweet...
That's very true.
Yeah, because kale doesn't like the heat, but mm-hmm. it's so sweet mm-hmm. and tender in the cool weather.
Yep. So, so we're kind of at the end of her garden as it's wrapped around her house. Oh, man, we see some beautiful leeks here in pots.
That's
encouraging for me to see that you can grow really healthy, beautiful leeks in a pot. You've got, what, six, seven leeks in a good-sized pot?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, and I just start them off with very little soil in the bottom, and then I can just
keep adding
the soil and or compost to them.
That's a great way. And they're pretty, too. They're really pretty. So
yeah, and they have just done very well.
So any last-minute things? We've got a few seconds left.
We are coming around to my compost pile.
Yes, that's right.
Where I've grown plenty of just beautiful compost, and I do it. I'm a lazy gardener, and so I've got these sort of Lincoln log stacks of two by twos.
Two by twos, and you just stack them up around a compost pile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, and I have an electric fence around it. And then I sift the compost, and I have the sifted compost is in a little short shed with a roof on it, so it's protected. Mm-hmm. I don't put fresh compost out until the spring because my thought is that the rain just leaches
the nutrient
out.
Yeah. And so this is not being leached because it's covered.
Right.
So, yeah. Okay. Well, our time is up. Whew. We've made it through the garden without Melissa has been carrying her pruning shears to
cut slugs in half.
And we made it through the whole garden with no slugs being, but we did see some, and there are some monster slugs here. So anyway, thank you so much for sharing your garden, Melissa. And we'll see you next week.
Okay, thanks.